Good morning. It is Sunday, September the 15th, and this is Ask the Mayor. I'm Chris Duffy, joined as always by Mayor Patrick Taylor. And Mayor Taylor, on a previous program, you had talked about how you had given a presentation to the Macon County Commission about the broadband project here in Highlands with kind of the hope that they might contribute to that project. I understand that is now bearing fruit in a rather significant way.
That is correct, Chris. Last Tuesday night, one of the main agenda items for the Macon County Commission was the deployment of broadband throughout the county. And they wanted an update from me about our project, along with a proposal from Little T Broadband, and that's a nonprofit organization who would like to see the deployment of broadband in Alto and Scaly Mountain. So they did a presentation and a request for funding to kind of start up the process. And I requested funding, if you will, a partnership contribution from the Macon County Commission to help us in our building of our broadband. And when I say building, we started putting up on our utility poles this past week. Our contractor, JB&L, was hanging these multiple hookup devices that lets them connect the broadband fiber optics from, you know, different points to other destinations. Mm-hmm. So that is underway. I did a briefing on that to the commission, letting them know the size of our project by stating, for example, that we have on order, and it will be coming in at the end of the month or the first of next month, 76,000 feet of fiber optic cable that bundles 840 fibers. Translated, that's about 12 miles of fiber. And then I went all the way down the list of other bundles and fiber optic cables that are on order to build this system. And I did request that, again, that the county make a contribution and become a partner in this effort, because the amount of fiber that we have, certainly wide open, our private partner can work with people outside the town limits down the road, mm-hmm. so to speak, to connect them to our fiber optic network. We just see this as kind of a great opportunity for the county to work with the town. And the commissioners responded with the leadership of Chairman Jimmy Tate and Ronnie Bill, who made a proposal to give the town of Highlands $500,000 toward their broadband project. It was voted upon and approved. We'll be receiving over the next 2 years $500,000 in support for our broadband. We'll have two installments every year of $250,000. And I really appreciate that decision and that commitment that the county's made, because it will help promote and develop broadband here on the plateau. It's a very important project, not only for here, but for the folks with Little T and Scaly and Alto and throughout the county. One of our residents and one of my friends, J.B. Corum, after the vote and we were leaving, came up and we had a conversation, and J.B. made a very good point. He said, this isn't just economic development, it's economic survival. And what he was emphasizing is either you'll have this kind of connectivity and thrive economically, or you will not have it and you will die economically. So this is a very critical point in time to make sure that all of the residents in this community and as far as possible throughout Macon County are connected to this important technology. I really was delighted to hear Commissioner Bill, who made the motion to approve this funding, you know, really step forward and say, you know, everybody in the state, the region, the county and towns have been talking about building broadband networks for about 5 years. The town of Highlands is actually doing it now, and it's time for us not to continue studying and planning. It's time to get underway in developing this important communication and resource utility to the citizens of this community. So I was really pleased at the decision that the Board of Commissioners made to support what we're doing here in Highlands.
It's certainly a very welcome support from the county. Mr. Mayor, In the paper this past week, a story about the recently held Bear Symposium, saying that quite a few people turned out for that. Of course, bears are now going into a hyper-feeding mode as they prepare for hibernation. So for the people who went to that symposium and to our listeners, do you suggest that people rush out and find the first bear-proof or bear-resistant trash can they can find with the impending regulation town requiring that next year?
That's right. And to me, I'm really glad the board decided to phase this in over a year, and that does give people time. And my suggestion, I've already gone out and bought my bear-resistant toter, and it's in operation. And I've noticed a lot of people have already done that. But if you haven't and you're not quite sure what you need, a 32-gallon, a 64, or even a 95-gallon toter, there's no rush on this. We've got until August 1st before this becomes a requirement for all, you know, residences. And I would say, you know, take your time, ask questions. I'll be happy to answer any questions. I met with the Bear Task Force group in my office earlier in the week, and they've got some very good ideas and plans. They'll be coming to the board. One of their ideas would be to later on, maybe next year, have kind of a day where people could come and look at, you know, different types of air-resistant toters and even maybe place orders or whatever. My point is that it's not a pressing, you must act right now type of situation. I also went over to Reeves Hardware this week, talked with Leslie and Alex about where they are. They've been looking at different types of bear-resistant toters. I gave them a list of toters and vendors that I have, and they'll continue working on having supplies so people can go into Reeves. Are there other, you know, places in this area where you can acquire those bear-resistant toters? So my point is that think about what you need, take your time, and then make a decision that's best for you.
Mr. Mayor, you've got your board meeting coming up this Thursday, and I understand there'll be a discussion about what is a rather hot topic these days, and that would be the short-term rental business. We're talking about VRBO and Airbnb. I understand it's a discussion, no votes planned at this point.
That is right.
No snap votes, no trickery, no chicanery, right?
Not like what happened in the state legislature last week. I promise everybody we will not take a vote on this because we're just becoming familiar with the issue. And what I would like to do at this next board meeting is to have a discussion. I will start the discussion, but we have Michael Mathis, our planner, who's been researching this, Josh Ward, our town manager, who's also been researching this. We've looked at materials from the North Carolina School of Government. We have been looking at what other communities do in relation to VRBO and vacation rentals and so forth. And this is just going to be a presentation to the board and to the public. These are the things that we have identified that could be a possible direction or issues, but nothing is in stone at this point. Nothing very close to a formal ordinance. It's just we will be looking at where we are, what other communities have done, what, according to the School of Government, is possible and allowable. And then I want to kind of create a plan of action. Do we need more community input in the form of a town meeting? I've already had a community coffee last month where we did a review of VRBO. Maybe more of those are needed. And then we probably will have to have some review from the staff and our land use committee, and maybe our zoning board might look at it, or even our town planning board, before we come up with any concrete proposal for an ordinance in this area of VRBO. So I encourage people, if you'd like to come and hear the discussion, that's great. Even if you'd like to come in and make a comment or two, that's fine too. We're not going to go into a lot of long, you know, discussion with the public at this point because, you know, we're just in the initial stage of developing a policy or ordinance in this area. But I want everybody to come and hear and give their feelings about, you know, what they think about the issue. So that'll be at the next town board meeting on Thursday night.
Mr. Mayor, over the last week or so, we've been seeing some rather stunning pictures coming out from places like Ocracoke, where entire roads seem to have been washed into the sea. The DOT still spending money on cleanup or paying bills on cleanup from hurricanes in 2018, and now we've had this major storm affect us here in 2019. How does this all factor in, plus some other issues, into DOT projects in our area?
As the newspapers reported this week, everything seems to be in delay. The 106 bridge over at Middle Creek, that seems to be on hold now. They're having budget issues. I've talked about this previously. The storms, the hurricanes that we've had have also had a tremendous impact on the plan, the long-range projects that the state DOT has on their list. So we will keep monitoring the situation. I know they've even delayed till 2021 the resurfacing of Highway 64, Main Street, and 28. I'm going to keep working with them and encouraging them, if it's all possible, to move that up on the schedule, because I don't know if that road can hold up much longer. So that's where we are. We're just kind of in a wait-and-see mode when it comes to what's going to happen with DOT, and I hope their funding and their budget issues can be resolved very soon, because, you know, transportation and good roads are just critical to this entire state.
Mr. Mayor, some people would argue critical for the good health and the lifestyle we enjoy here in Highlands would be a number of the ordinances that the town has enacted to preserve that. But I understand there is some chafing occasionally at some of those ordinances.
That's correct. We have a real robust economy right now. People are wanting to do projects and extend their businesses and so forth. And in the last few weeks, we've had a number of situations where people are saying that they want to do something that is not permitted by the current ordinances. And some of them say, we're just too strict, we need to be more flexible, and so forth. And my response is this: we have ordinances. If your project doesn't meet the criteria for that particular ordinance, we can't change it. We have to follow the ordinances and follow the zoning board requirements, the zoning requirements, and so forth. If you think it's too strict, you can always go to the board and ask the board to consider changing the ordinances. But we have to follow what has been approved and in place right now. I would say this, though. Some people are upset that they wish we had more flexibility on signage, setbacks, you know, permissible uses, and so forth. We've had these ordinances in place back since the 1970s. I think that the ordinances and the zoning requirements we have shaped this into a very attractive and beautiful community, and that connects directly to our economic viability and how we have been able to thrive compared to other communities that don't have any kind of ordinances. And be quite frank, I ride through some of them and they just look like one big junk pile and junkyard. So we do have strict ordinances, but I think they serve us well. They make people want to live in a beautiful aesthetic and organized and consistent community. So while we're always open to changes and adjustments, I would caution the entire community about making wholesale changes to our ordinances. I know, for example, we've had a lot of feedback. I've received a lot of feedback about putting more lighting on Main Street. Well, I think that's important for the community to really reflect and look at what is the best in the long term for the appearance and the aesthetics of this community. And maybe we need to look at lighting. Right now, I think that we have some limits on how much light can be used in a particular business or area, and I think that there's a lot of merit to that. And, you know, I get a lot of people asking if we shouldn't even go more toward a dark sky community where lighting is really planned and controlled. So these are issues that we will certainly consider and address, but I kind of go conservative when it comes to ordinances. They are in place for a reason, and they serve us well especially in the long term. So that's where we are on that. I'm certainly open to other views and proposals, but my view, and I think the board has the same kind of view, is that we need to be very cautious about making wholesale changes to our ordinances and our zoning requirements.
Mr. Mayor, it's almost 2 weeks away, but certainly worth billboarding at this time, and that would be your upcoming community coffee coming up on the 27th, the last Friday of the month. And this month you have, well, quite a special guest, someone from outside the town, but who has a big effect on us here in Highlands and Cashers and the whole area.
That is correct, Chris. I like to invite people not just from within the town, but outside the town, elected officials and so forth, because what they do really has an impact on what happens here in Highlands. So last week, I invited Kevin Corbin, our state representative for this district, to come and talk at our community coffee concerning, you know, some very critical issues. Broadband, that's one of the things, the status of the DOT situation. There are just a lot of issues that he is dealing with at the state level that we need to know about here in Highlands. So he's coming on the 27th. I wanted to say I did not know that Kevin was running for state senator at the time that I made this invitation. And, you know, this is not a campaign stop by any stretch of the imagination, but I do think it's important that a representative like Kevin, who's always been willing to engage with, you know, his constituents, be invited to come and discuss some of the critical issues that Highlanders and our residents might have as it relates to pending state legislation. So I encourage everybody to come and ask questions to Kevin about, you know, what's happening in Raleigh.
So if you would like to meet, greet, and perhaps voice your concerns to current state representative Corbin, that would be next Friday, the 27th, at the Hudson Library at 11. And with that, we'll wrap up this episode of Ask the Mayor. I thank Mayor Taylor for joining us this morning, and we both wish you a pleasant Sunday.